Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show. Tuning in tonight for yet another, action-packed show. Joining me tonight is Mark. Mark, how are you doing over there after taking in a good weekend of, Zweite Bundesliga action?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of protests. Pretty good weather over here, though, at the minute. So, yeah, it was great to catch up with Peter yesterday and go to the... the kind of third part of our FC Nuremberg versus FC Kaiserslautern kind of trilogy. But yeah, look out for the vlog as well. Peter will just be preparing that as we speak now. So yeah, don't forget to check that out when it comes out, probably later this week.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Yeah, the trilogy goes on and on. But yeah, so tonight, doing a bit of a different show, as you might have seen advertised on social media. It's been a little while since we've done this, so we wanted to do it on a weekend where it was, quiet in effect. Obviously, huge ramifications that we've seen across the Sunday games and lots of big results at the bottom end of the table. But we wanted to open out a show to kind of the viewers and you guys and do a bit of a Q&A. So we put it to everyone on social media, well, on Twitter/X. We've got a load of questions for ourselves to go through. We'll try and group them all together a little bit and theme them as we go along. So we'll be working our way through that in terms of the questions that have been asked, obviously, prior to the show going on. Of course, if you have got any, you know, real eager questions, you know, get them in. Don't be shy. Me and Mark will try and work our way through as many as we can in about the hour and 5 minutes that we have for tonight's show. So really keen to get going on it. So if you can do, leave a thumbs up for tonight's show. Comment along as well. Like I say, questions, comments. If you want to answer the questions that have been asked already, please do and share your thoughts. You know, that'd be great. And of course, subscribe to the channel as well. Make sure you leave a rating and a review on podcasts. That'd be awesome as well. And yeah, big nod to our great partners, Bundesliga Boxes and Bully News. Great shout out to Bundesliga Boxes for delivering me my first ever VFB number. So there we go. Celebration of all numbers. I think this is a away shirt circa a couple of seasons ago. Absolutely love it. So yeah, great stuff all together. Evening to Justin, BVB David. Lots of hopefully lots of people getting involved tonight. So Mark, we're going to just begin as with a couple of questions in relation to Bayern. Obviously, with the fallout of the weekend, how could we not start with questions centered around the German champions who succumbed to their third defeat in all competitions on Sunday to Bochum. It was an incredible match, an incredible watch as well. So there's a couple of questions that we have a theme of Bayern, so we'll start with that, and we'll work our way through all the different ones. So there's a couple of questions in. Firstly, from our good friend Alex, so Alexander Silk, who obviously joined us on the show a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure he was reveling in their defeat, Bayern. So he says, "How on earth do Bayern recover against Leipzig next week, especially with the suspension to Upamecano and the injury to Mazraoui?" And I think there's a similar question asked around that as well, which I'll pick up in a minute. But Mark, do you want to lead off on this, in terms of the recovery and maybe how Bayern are going to, how are they even going to shape up with next week against Leipzig? I mean, they're going to be changing formation. Is there going to be just square pegs, round hole sort of gig?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, that's for sure. You know, I mean, obviously 8 points the gap now following that defeat by Bochum. Yeah, I mean, you've got to remember that Upamecano actually only came on as a substitute yesterday. He'd been dropped after a poor performance against Lazio, where he also got a red card, by the way. So a pretty calamitous week for the French centre-half. But yeah, I would imagine in that game, they're going to go with the same back four as what they had, obviously without Mazraoui, but they'll go for the Kim De Ligt in a 4-4-2 at the back, I would imagine. But it's not exactly a great option because the two of them have never really kind of shown themselves as a partnership. You know, Upamecano has generally been preferred alongside Kim this season. So, yeah, it's definitely a worry. As for Mazraoui injury, yeah, it's really worrying because obviously Lima is currently out as well. So he's not going to be... Barring a recovery ahead of that game, he's going to be out as well. So, I mean, will they go with Boe? I'm not sure.
he's injured as well.
He's also injured. So, yeah, maybe Pavlovic. He'll have to fill in at right back. I don't know. But it's desperate times for the SCB, let's be honest now. I mean, last week we called for, you know, we said don't lose faith in them. Don't lose the plot. But, yeah, after defeats against Lazio and now against Bochum as well, it really is worrying times for the FCB. I mean, as you say, the squad is ridiculously thin as well. I mean, if you looked at their bench against Bochum, I mean, it was desperately thin. As you say, they're not going to have a Pamecano for the next game. They're not going to have Mazraoui. And they've already got a lot of youngsters on the bench as well. You know, this Brian Zaragoza has come in. You know, he's yet to really show himself. Matthias Tell, a lot of people thought he would get more game time during this period since the Coman injury, but he's not really got that many starts. So, yeah, it's desperate times. You know, will Thomas Tuchel last? I guess we'll answer that question more later. But what do you think? Can you see them, you know, recovering against Bayern, against Leipzig next week? Or could it be more misery for the FCB?
Well, linking into that, so another question that we've had is from the RBLE Global Tracks podcast, and they've submitted a good few questions as well, so thank you very much for those. One of which is, will RB be able to get Thomas Tuchel fired next week, or will the real Mir San Mir team finally show up? So obviously this directly correlates with the question that we've already had from Alexander. It's definitely not the team that Bayern would be looking to play after three straight defeats, is it? I mean, Leipzig themselves have been up and down this season, but Marco Rosa has already displayed RB Leipzig have more than enough in their locker to beat Bayern. They've already done it this season. You know, they've showed their qualities. In a match where Bayern aren't sure of their back four, their back three, whatever it might look like, if you've got Goalpender and Šeško, you know, if they both have their shooting boots on, it's going to be a really open game. I think there'll be lots of goals in it. Bayern will have to score, you know, minimum three probably to get the 3 points, in my opinion. But also, yeah, I think based on what's come out in the media in the last 24 hours, there's a mixture of things, Mark. I'm not sure if you see more in Germany itself, but from what I've seen on social media, there's a bit of a mix of Bild saying, you know, Bayern are going to stick with Tuchel until the end of the season versus, you know, if he loses against Leipzig, he's definitely gone. Some people thought the Bochum loss would be enough as well. So tricky. I think if they lose to RB, Tuchel will go, personally speaking. But what have you heard over in Germany? Is it slightly more they're sticking with him until the end of season, no matter what?
Not really, no. A lot of people think he's on borrowed time, basically, over here. Yeah, I think I was in the camp that basically a defeat or even a failure to win against Bochum would lead to his firing. And I'm a little bit shocked that we haven't heard that news today. I mean, obviously, he came out after the game and basically could title without saying it directly. And I mean, that's desperate, ultimately, you know. Although it is true that Jan-Christian Dressen guaranteed that, you know, he would keep the job until the end of the season. But we've heard that before. It's like the good old vote of confidence, basically, isn't it? And we all know that in football, a week's a long time. And for me, there's absolutely no guarantee that he's going to last until the end of the season. I think it's possible they might give him the Lazio game to try and turn that round, which I think is in another 2 weeks or so. But, I mean, he's on borrowed time, basically. He's going to get fired in the very, very near future. I mean, Kimmich has also come out and he's not happy. There's also been rumours about Harry Kane as well. I think more in the English media, that was, from what I can gather, about like him making a few comments about Harry Kane's performances in recent weeks against Leverkusen and Lazio. So it's looking very, very, it's over, basically, for Tuchel. I mean, if it's not now, it'll be at the end of the season, but he's not going to get another season in charge. That's for absolutely certain. And, you know, I mean, few would really give Bayern much chance against RB, because RB love going to the Allianz Arena. Let's not forget that. I mean, they won on the last two trips there. You know, they should have ended the title challenge last year as well with that 3-1 win. And then obviously they thrashed them in the Super Cup as well. So RB will definitely fancy going there and winning. And to be honest, with the, you know, a mixture of the disarray that Bayern are in and also the personnel choices that are going to be out there, few were back against RB getting at least a point or even a win in truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And then still on that topic, we'll fire through this one a little bit quicker because there's a really good question from our good friend Runa as well to work through on Bayern, and then we'll move on. Why does Tuchel get so much credit, Mark? Was it wrong to get rid of Nagelsmann and Kovac? I'm not so sure about the Kovac part, but Nagelsmann, was Tuchel just in the right place at the right time to get the Bayern job? Nagelsmann was obviously trying to change a lot of Bayern in terms of style of play, and he was obviously upsetting certain profile players there as well. Obviously, we know the Manuel Neuer story about, you know, the goalkeeping coach and all that sort of gig. So was Tuchel just a benefit of right place, right time?
Yeah, it's widely seen over here in Germany as a massive error, basically. Yeah, basically, almost everybody, there's a general consensus that the firing of Nagelsmann was a massive mistake, and that ultimately Kahn and Salihamidzic paid their jobs for that decision as well. I mean, they were basically blamed for that subconsciously, for getting rid of, you know, one of Germany's, you know, best young coaches. Okay, he's not exactly done well at Germany in the German national team job so far, but, you know, he is a very highly rated coach. He suits club football. And looking back, he wasn't doing terribly bad with Bayern as well, let's be honest. I mean, they were what? I think at the time, 2 points behind in the title race behind Dortmund. They were still in the Champions League. They had that Champions League quarterfinal against Man City, which they ended up getting thrashed in under Tuchel. And then obviously Tuchel also, you know, was part of the side that lost to Freiburg in the Pokal last year as well. So it was hardly an impressive first half season either, in truth. Yep. But yeah, how does he get so much credit? I would kind of agree with that. I think a lot of people have him down as one of these super coaches, but I just don't see it myself, to be honest. You know, I mean, a lot of people say he's a difficult character as well. Like, I mean, a lot of people initially were comparing him to Jurgen Klopp, but then many people said, you know, personality-wise, he's the polar opposite, really. Like, Klopp is, like, really friendly, charismatic, you know, this kind of guy. But Tuchel is more, you know, he's a complicated guy, a lot of people say. And basically, tactically as well, you've got to question it because, for me, he's not really made his own stamp on this Bayern team in terms of tactics. You know, he's pretty much gone for similar to what Nagelsmann went with, but he's just been less successful, basically. So you've got to question him big time. And also his personnel choices have been very dodgy. You know, I mean, the fact that he refuses to play Limer in midfield is bizarre in my eyes. You know, and also the fact that he prefers Pavlovic over Kimmich at times is also maybe a little bit odd. And yeah, it's just not been very good. His year in charge has not been very good. They've lost too many games, too many embarrassments, and I think it is going to come to an end very soon, in truth.
Yeah, good point from David as well in the comments saying that Nagelsmann won a league title in the full season, unlike obviously Musiala basically winning the league title for Tuchel, obviously on the back of the end of last season as well. So yeah, very good point there as well. And just finally to close on an interesting question from Runa, what would you do, okay, us two, I guess, to get back on track if you were buying bosses? The ultimate question, putting us to it there, Runa, so a really good one. I mean, for me, just briefly on this one, I guess, well, firstly, don't let Harry Kane have any more say in signing anyone. So, aka, don't bring any more has-been Tottenham Hotspur players over. like Eric Dyer. No, I'm only joking. It's good to see English players in the league. I would say keep faith / build the team around the youngsters. So your Musialas, your Pavlovic's, Stanisic, if he comes back properly, Matisse Tel, those sort of players. Like, they're the future of the club at the end of the day. And most of them, you know, Tel has had a good breakout season. Pavlovic has been really, really good when he's played. Musiala is obviously one of the standout players in Germany. Versus, you know, these obviously German legends who are coming towards the end of their tenures at the club, you know, have a long-term plan set out for replacing Manuel Neuer. Similarly with, you know, with Thomas Müller and players like that. And obviously they need a new top-class coach with top-class ideas and a clear style of play. So, I mean, that's just for starters. Mark, any other additions to what you would do if you were the Bayern CEO?
Yeah, I think focus on youth is very key to try and rebuild that Bayern identity, because, to be honest, in recent years, a lot of the signings have screamed of, like, desperation, in truth. I think they've had a couple of poor years. I think it was right to get rid of Salihamidzic and Kahn. I think that's a start, because they were kind of the start of the rot in my eyes. They brought in a lot of poor signings. And also, yeah, they've got to probably get rid of Kimmich as well, because I do believe, I know I've been a critic of him recently on the show, I do believe that, you know, he's creating like a negative vibe there a little bit. And Tuchel seems to feel the need to play him in most games, but he's just not been doing it this season at all. I mean, I know it took a while to convince you, Rory, that he's not been at it this season, but surely you're convinced by now, because he's just, for me, he's just not been there. So maybe it's time for him to move on, go to Man City or whatever. And I think also, yeah, to start signing younger players again that have got potential to grow, because if you look at a lot of the signings they've made in recent years, you know, even De Ligt, like, he's not, okay, he's like 25, 26, but he's not a youngster anymore. And in the past, they always used to sign really young players and bring them through, you know. Yeah, it's one of those clubs that have started. I mean, even Kane, I actually spoke to a few Bayern fans when they signed Kane, and as happy as they were, he's 31. He's almost 31 years old. So they paid 90 million for a 31-year-old. I mean, as good as he is, you know, and I'm not criticizing him at all. But at the end of the day, it's not really looking towards the future, because realistically, you know, you've got 2-3 years of him. He's going to be mid-30s, basically. So it's not ideal, really. And German clubs, they love to focus on, you know, value for money. And 90 million for a 30-year-old isn't really great value. But they've got to start going to youth and, yeah, get that old buying way back in place, in my eyes.
Yeah. Stop snatching all of the second best players worth a team from, you know, Leipzig, Dortmund and co as well. They can stay well away from VfB as well. But anyway, yeah, some really good questions around Bayern and kind of fallout from obviously the weekend. So yeah, you know, we'll move on and kind of go into another topic and set of questions. There's quite a lot on Leverkusen, but I want to come back to them. So let's dive into a few different areas of play. Let's just see who we've got here. One from our good friend as well, Moritz Bayer. Can Werder get European football this season? Mark, do you want to lead with this one? I guess it's kind of this one's very open, because it doesn't seem like anyone other than the top five wants any form of Europe, because everyone's form is just completely off versus what Werder's is.
Yeah, I believe they can, but a lot of that depends on the cup as well, because you've got to remember that three of the four teams in the cup semis aren't going to qualify for Europe through the league. So basically, if Leverkusen fail to win the league, then one of those teams, either FC Kaiserslautern, Fortuna Düsseldorf, or Saarbrücken/Gladbach, are going to get in the Europa League, basically. But obviously, most people would expect Leverkusen to see that through. The very, very big favourites to lift the Pokal as well as the league. Yeah. But yeah, in that case, I definitely think it's possible. Like, if you look at the table now, they're in seventh place with 29 points through 22 games, which puts them 4 points behind Frankfurt, who are also faltering a little bit. So they might still have their eye on that sixth place. You know, they play Darmstadt this weekend, which is a very, very winnable game. And, you know, Werder Bremen have been one of the teams of the Rückrunde so far. I think nobody really predicted it, but they have been really, really good. They've shown up defensively. Zetterer has been fantastic, I've got to say. I can honestly say I've changed my opinion on him, because when he first came in, I was a bit of a naysayer, in truth. You know, he made a few errors early on, but he's been really good, and he's stabilised that defence as well with his commanding attitude. I think Friedel has been great. Malatini as well, coming into that defence, has done really well. And then I really like the midfield. It took Lienen a while to get going in that defensive midfield position, but I've been really impressed with him as well. I think Lienen, I remember we watched his debut against Bayern, actually, Rory, and I saw potential in him then, but he kind of slipped out of the team. But I think he's been a key part in this Rückrunde, in them kind of shoring up that defence. You know, he offers protection to the back three, but also he can bring the ball forward too. And then the likes of Schmid, Stage and Agu have just been fantastic, you know. I mean, it was quite interesting that this weekend and Jinma came off the bench, ironically, for he actually was dropped for Voltamada, which is rather bizarre in some ways. But there is quality in that squad, you know, and Oli Werner has turned it round, because there was a point when he was thinking, you know, is he going to keep getting time? Because he was starting to lose quite a lot of games in the Hinrunda. But he's well and truly turned it around. They've had one defeat in nine now, which is fantastic. A lot of wins in that run. And to be honest, at the minute, they look like a top six, top seven side. So it's going to be great to see if they can keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, I think they've got a really good core to them at the moment. I do think from 6th to 10th is really close to call. I think Frankfurt will have enough quality-wise. I think they'll hold out. They would have felt a lot better if they held on against Freiburg at the weekend as well, wouldn't they, points-wise? And then I think it's really open, to be honest. The form of all those teams otherwise looks really, really dodgy. It also might depend on how well Freiburg and Frankfurt particularly go in Europe as well. If they go deep, it might affect their form in the league as well. So, yeah, really good question. Thank you for that, Moritz. Another question for a couple of our different of our other teams that we haven't mentioned yet. Again, from the RB Leipzig Tracks Global Tracks podcast. Two-parter. Firstly, bless you. Are Union Berlin back on track? And how serious is the situation for FC Köln? We'll start with Union then, Mark. How back on track are they? Because, yeah, they're doing better, but I still have my, my reservations, mainly because of they do have a really tough run of games coming up in terms of, obviously, fixtures. And ultimately, again, it's just down to can they score enough goals and maybe that home form, because away from home, yeah, they really struggled. I just think the fixtures that they have still to play will mean that they're not going to pull away at least until the end of the season, and then it will come down to nip and tuck. I think they probably will be okay, but I'm not saying that they're back on track. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an exaggeration to say back on track, but they're definitely starting to get results. But it depends on what you mean by back on track, because I would say, you know, the performances are still not at the same level as what they were the previous two seasons, or probably even previous three seasons. But they are starting to grind out results by playing pretty ugly football, in truth, I would say. I mean, Union Berlin have never been known as a side that played really expansive football, but particularly at home, they could score goals in their own way. You know, they were always a threat off set plays from those crosses coming in from the likes of Trimmel, Juranovic and Roussillon. But this season, that seems to have dropped off a little bit. And in truth, they haven't scored many goals at all, in fact. You know, one of the lowest scorers in the Bundesliga this season with only 21 goals from 22 games, which is relatively paltry to say the least. But yeah, when you look at the recent results, I think it's very clear why things have improved a little bit for Union, and that's because the defence is back, basically. I think that in the beginning of the season, the likes of Bonucci was atrocious, basically. You know, he'll go down as one of the big flops for the Eisen Union, I think. And I think releasing him has helped them. I remember, actually, that was one of my tips, Rory, before the January window, that I said both Fofana and Bonucci would leave the club in January. Yeah, it turned out to be true, because I think they were the two bad apples, basically, in that squad. And there was clearly a lot of issues behind the scenes. And I think now they've got that Union spirit back. That's what's changed, you know.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the defence, the likes of Duki is back on form, the likes of Diogo Leite is back on form, even Kevin Vogt as well. I've got to say he's been very good since signing. He seems to be a good Union Berlin player, the man who signed from Hoffenheim. And yeah, they've got Kadira back in the squad, they've got Lyduni back starting, even Trimmel started on Saturday as well. So you get the feeling that this is, it's the old squad, isn't it? A lot of those new guys have been benched or sold. And actually, ironically, Aronson did get the goal off the bench, but he wasn't very good for most of his time at the club. But yeah, yeah, I mean, for me, it's more of a case they've gone back to basics under Bielsa, basically, and it's worked. Well, what do you think, Rory? Would you say the same? Or?
Yeah, well, I was just alluding to it before you had your say on that, Mark. I think I don't think they'll pull away directly from relegation. I think they'll have enough, but yeah, they're far from back on track. And I think it will be into next season, providing that they do survive, where we see more from them, what they want to do attacking-wise again, and who's going to lead the line, and how they'll shape up as well. But yeah, interesting to have some thoughts on Union. And then how serious are things for FC Köln? I mean, well, yeah, pretty serious still. They too have a tough run of games coming up. But so I think their last five games are slightly more friendly, and they're playing teams around them. So they'll just want to still be in the conversation really around then, and see what they can do with big home games. You know, at the moment, again, as we've already talked about, goals is a real issue. So being able to find someone who can put the ball in the back and there is going to be a massive thing. Having to blood in quite a lot of youngsters and seeing if they can step up or if they're going to die trying. So, yeah, I'm still pretty concerned for for Köln. And quite a lot of people were saying, Mark, that if Köln do go down, quite a lot of people were worried about, obviously, them financially speaking, and then what might happen to them in the slighter Bundesliga, in terms of, some people have said a double relegation would be on, and things like that, because obviously the transfer embargo and all things ensued like that. So how concerned are you for the Billy Goats?
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, actually. As you say, it is that two-year transfer ban, and it's, they've tried to have it overturned a couple of times, I think, and basically it's been rejected out of the house. So it seems as though the chances of getting it overturned are completely over. And as you say, I mean, they would lose probably, I mean, they've maybe only got four or five like Bundesliga standard players even now, in truth, and they probably lose all of them, I would say, because I think I heard some of them are on contracts that, yeah, as Moritz said in the comments, yeah, the likes of Szabo don't have two league contracts, so they have release clauses or sell clauses and things, so they'd end up with a really poor squad, and they just couldn't afford to buy anyone, basically. So yeah, well, it's not that they couldn't afford to buy anyone; it's that they couldn't buy anyone because of the transfer embargo. So yeah, it's a pretty desperate situation, in truth. Yeah, I mean, they've just got to stay up, as Moritz said, really. They've got to find a way, just get in that playoff or something, win the playoff and get the season over with. And okay, they'd start again next season on a ban, for as far as I know. But basically, if they end up in the second league, they'd be probably in the bottom five, six worst teams down there. So yeah, it is pretty desperate. It really is. For a club of the size of Köln, it's bad. But I still believe that... yeah, they've just got to try and stay up, basically. I think that's the only way they can survive at the minute. If they do go down, then yeah, it's bleak. They're going to have to rely on youth players to try and keep them in the second league, at least until January, when the ban is ends, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And sticking on the theme of teams struggling, so we're kind of sticking with a bit of a relegation theme at the moment. We'll move on to another question from Runa. One of his countrymen, he obviously really excited to see Bo Henriksen begin his life at Mainz, obviously successfully at the weekend as well. But do we think he has enough to save Mainz from relegation? Certainly has a shot, but it will be really tough, I think. Naturally, Henriksen's going to come in with his own ideas. He made five, six changes at the weekend already, so already making his stamp on how this Mainz team will play. The three at the back with the advanced fullbacks, which we saw. And can they get closer to what their XG suggests that they should be on? Obviously at the weekend they hit the woodwork a few times. They also missed the penalty through Amiri. Few worries still for Mainz, and yeah, it's still going to be tough for them. Just quickly, Mark, thoughts on Henriksen's first game? Were you impressed with what Mainz did? They certainly looked good in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, the 3-4-3 seemed to work well for them. I mean, it kind of came from nowhere, really, the 3-4-3, because nobody thought... I mean, if you look at the personnel they've gone with, it doesn't look like the strongest team by any means. I mean, Dominic Hardcore playing in the back three. I mean, when's that ever happened before, you know? And also the fact that Ajok was dropped for Onisivo as well. I mean, that was controversial, to say the least, so... Yeah, I mean, but I think the fact that Lee and Gruder on the side of the three look really good, to be honest. I think Lee, it looks like he's coming back into form for probably the first time this season, really, because he's not been very good for most of the season, but maybe the break for the Asia Cup's done him good. Amiri as well, okay, he missed the penalty, but he's come in and done pretty well. He provides a bit of quality, and he is a good player, Amiri, you know, and if he can get regular game time. You have to remember that at one time he was considered one of Germany's big future hopes, really. So it was, you know, his career kind of dwindled in a very, very quality packed Leverkusen outfit. But I think Mainz is a good club for him to rebuild his career. And yeah, I mean, the XG was like 3.5 against 0.8 for Augsburg. So, I mean, nobody can argue that they deserve the win, and they deserve to win comfortably, in truth. So, yeah, great start. The only problem is they go to Leverkusen this week. So, I mean, the chances of building on that result next to zero, in truth. So, it's going to be hard. They've got to try and win the home games. They've got to try and grind away and win some of those home games. That's always a good way to start. I mean, if you look at some of the fixtures coming up, they've got Gladbach at home coming up, who are just perched just above the bottom three, ironically now. They've got the likes of Bochum at home, Darmstadt at home, and Hoffenheim still to come, you know. But the next three aways are Leverkusen, Bayern, and Leipzig. So it's a mixed fixture list. But I believe they can stay up, but I think it might be one of them where they have to get in the playoff and then win the playoff, basically. And for me, you would always back the top league side against the second league side in that playoff, given the history of that time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it'll be tricky, and I think they'll need those around them's form to drop off a little bit, because, you know, they wouldn't have had Bochum to beat Bayern, for example, the weekend, and Union getting the win and stuff like that. So it's a good weekend because they won, but other teams around them also won, so it makes it a bad weekend in that sense. Staying on the topic then, question from FPL Gunnosaurus, aka Jay. Has asked us, who are we tipping for the drop then? Is it as simple as Darmstadt and one of Mainz and Köln? Well, obviously, from the table as it looks now, it looks, pretty like that. Gladbach's form is pretty horrible at the moment, but even with them being in 15th place, I really can't believe a team of that with that quality should be anywhere near there. Even Augsburg have been one of the most impressive teams since Thorpe has come in, Mark. They're now down in 14th place. It's really quite odd. So it does feel like it's maybe just from those three. Are you throwing anyone else in there?
I think it's just that that magnet drawing Augsburg down, isn't it? That's what I've always said. It is. There's just something about that club that no matter how well they play, or, you know, the likes of Demirovic has been absolutely wonderful this season in Babu, but they still can't get out of that bottom third of the table, can they? It's almost like it's impossible for them. It's just not written in the stars for them to do that. Yeah. But to be honest, I do believe that there's a big gap this year between 15th and 16th. I think the other teams, like Bochum, are a very good side. Augsburg also have improved a lot. I think Bochum and Augsburg are both much better than they were last season, in truth. I really do believe that. And I think it's very hard to see them going down. It's also hard to see Union really going down, in truth, at the moment. Maybe Wolfsburg are one that I'm a little bit worried about, because they're just kind of drifting through the season, and they seem to draw every week, but they never seem to win, do they? So, like, yeah, I mean, a couple of defeats all of a sudden, maybe a few hard fixtures in a row, and that could maybe drag them back down. But to be honest, I think it is probably that bottom three are playing for the playoff spot right now, in truth. Gladbach are on bad form. They could get dragged in, but I still see too much quality in that side to get dragged in. You know, they probably need another 3-4 wins to guarantee safety. And I just don't see it happening, you know, although they are on poor form at the minute. But I don't see Köln or Mainz all of a sudden going on a winning run, in truth. You know, they'll get the odd win here and there, but I think probably 30 points will be enough to keep you up this season. That's my view anyway.
Yeah, again, Gladbach will just beat someone random that they shouldn't do, and then they'll be fine. They often do that. Certainly you thought that Gladbach would be one of the biggest improvers in the under marks. Yeah. That's not quite gone to plan. Mm. But, you know, these things happen, don't they? And then sticking to coaches maybe under pressure, good question from Runa. Who's going to be the next Bundesliga coach to get the boot? Well, maybe if we forego the obvious one in the shape of Thomas Tuchel. For me, obviously, Mark's just mentioned one, Niko Kovac. Yeah, massively under pressure. I think he's got to go soon, surely. And then maybe aside from that, I hate to say it, but Gladbach should not be in 15th place. Is Seoane under, you know, he is under pressure, which would be a great shame because I think he is a good coach, but the results aren't, you know, speaking at the moment. Anyone else, Mark, that I've missed?
Yeah, I think there's one big one, and it's one of the teams that we actually tipped up as being one of the better teams of the first half, and it's Pellegrino Matarazzo of Hoffenheim. Like they're dropping like a stone there. They've not won in the Rückrunde yet, and they're getting worse every week. I mean, they've taken 1 point at home against Köln and Union, which is, I mean, nobody needs. I don't need to tell you that that's not good enough ultimately. And even the only point they did get was like a last-second equaliser against Köln. Basically, so it's grim for them at the minute, and obviously they have high hopes. They've got a massive budget with SAP funding them, and you know, Dietmar Hopp and the boys won't be happy with what they're seeing at the minute. And you know, it's not the fact they're ninth at the minute, but it's the fact they're dropping so badly. I mean, they were what, sixth at the end of the Hinrunde, and you know, another two or three bad results and they could be right down in like 14th, 15th, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really good questions in there. So we're now going to revert back up the league, and we're going to go to some questions about Leverkusen as well. So we've kind of themed them a little bit. So first one is another question from Moritz. So thank you for this one. Do you believe that Bayer Leverkusen can win the treble, aka the Europa League, DFB Pokal and Bundesliga? It's certainly on, isn't it? Moritz, I mean, if they can wrap up the Bundesliga in good time and things are looking good in the Pokal, they're hugely strong favourites. Obviously, the big question is the Europa League then. Obviously, they have to play one round fewer because they top their group. I guess it's maybe a couple of teams that they would be wary of in the Europa League, Mark, is, well, what, Liverpool are in there. And what AC Milan I see is maybe a challenger, but other than that, I don't think there's an awful lot for them to be too scared of in the Europa League at the very least.
I think it depends on how seriously they take the Europa League, to be honest, because I think at the end of the day, they've got to win. The Bundesliga is the absolute unquestionable. They cannot blow it from here, and Xabi will know that. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, Europa League's great and German teams do take it seriously, but it's not the Bundesliga to Bayer Leverkusen. They've never won it before. They've always wanted to win it. They've been second, I think, 5 times. And I can guarantee there's absolutely no way that basically any other tournament will come near the Bundesliga for them. Even though they're 8 points clear now, all it takes is one defeat and Bayern win, and then it's back on again. So with 11 games to go, I know everybody's saying it's over, but I'm not in the it's over party yet, to be honest. I think it's over for Tuchel, but Bayern have been in this position before, actually, and still won the title. I think Dortmund, I think in 18-19, they were in a similar position with 11 games to go, and Bayern actually won the title that year. So, but obviously, this Leverkusen team is much better anyway. You can't compare this Leverkusen team to the Dortmund side of that year. And I really don't believe they will lose the league, but they've got to prioritise that. So they've got to make sure the first team is out for every single league match. And then I think the second priority will be the Pokal, actually, as well. They'll want to dominate Germany this year. And then, you know, look into next year, they'll want to have a good run in the Champions League. I would imagine that'll be the focus. But that doesn't mean that they won't be taking it seriously. I think they will take it seriously. But I don't think they'll win the Europa League, but I think they'll win the double of the Pokal and the Bundesliga.
Yeah, that's what David said, I think, for going for the double. And then, yeah, like you just said, I was just bringing up another question, pretty similar in the sense of Leverkusen's chances potentially in the Champions League next season probably massively depends on what their squad looks like, who they keep, who they don't keep, I guess. That's all, yeah, for next year. If they keep the majority of their squad, they'll have a really good go at it, I think. And then what else have we got on Leverkusen? One from Alex saying, should Leverkusen win the league? Do we think it's better than Leicester winning the Premier League? For me, I think Leicester winning the Premier League is just ridiculous and outrageous. A lot less outrageous to think of a Leverkusen team winning the Bundesliga. So for me, it's a, yeah, Leicester City was more outrageous and better. What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I don't even think it's close to comparing the Leicester City. I mean, the Leicester City was a true miracle, basically. Yeah. Like, they had a team of, like, you know, globetrotters and journeymen, and they somehow managed to win the most expensive league in the world, basically. Okay, yeah. I know they had Ndidi and Mahrez, who were like the kind of, and Kante as well. Oh, no, sorry, Kante and Mahrez. Yeah,
Right.
And I know they went on to be world beaters, but nobody knew it at that time. You know, and basically that was a true miracle, literally. That was a gift from God. I think Leverkusen winning it is not a miracle, but it's still an amazing achievement, you know. And a lot of that is down to Xabi Alonso and also the guys, Simon Rolfes and the like, who were able to procure Alonso to the club. And, you know, the ambition they've shown to not only keep a lot of the best players, but also to strengthen the squad, which is something me and Rory have been asking for ages. Teams just show that ambition and that you get the results. And, you know, it would be an amazing achievement for them to win it, but come on, you can't compare it to Leicester City's miracle boys, basically.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. Really, I like this question from Alex about Grimaldo and Frimpong being producing the best season by a full pack pairing ever. Which other fullbacks do you think have had better seasons? I mean, the fullback, by definition, well, they're just measured differently these days, aren't they? Like, it is all about numbers, assists and goals more often than not in this modern day football that we play and watch. I mean, statistically speaking, both of them are what, well on their way. What, Grimaldo's got 10 goals in all comps and Frimpong, I think, has 9. They both have 9 or 10 assists as well in all competitions. So I think numbers-wise, that kind of goes beyond a lot of what anyone has produced in a one-off season. I guess, Mark, when you think of famous fullback pairings in modern-day football, I think of Dani Carvajal and Marcelo. You think of, as much as I hate to say it, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, obviously at Liverpool, and maybe the likes of Alexandro and what's his face at Juve? Christ, the name escapes me now. But anyway, those sort of players. What do you think? I mean, like I just said, numbers-wise, yeah, adds up to being one of the best seasons ever that fullbacks have introduced. And I guess it also depends on the role that a fullback is given in these great sides that we've seen in years gone by.
Yeah, I think this year, there's no question. Yeah, I think they have been the best fullback partnership in Europe. But to be honest, I was thinking about this the other day. Has there been a better team in Europe this year than Leverkusen? I'm not sure, in truth. It's such a pity that they haven't been able to compete in the Champions League this year, because I really do. But this team is just, it's not just good in the Bundesliga, you know. It's one of the best in Europe. There's absolutely no question about that. Look at the record. 28 wins from 32 and 4 draws. They're literally unbeaten through the whole season with 28 wins. It's just absurd. I don't ever remember a team putting those numbers on. And the only regret for me this season from Leverkusen is the fact that we haven't been able to see them in the Champions League, to be honest, because I would have been interested to see what they would have done to the likes of Man City, Real Madrid, because for me, I really believe they're on par with those kind of teams right now. I really do. I just think the football they play, there's no end of quality in this team, you know. And obviously Grimaldo and Frimpong are a big part of that, but let's not forget the likes of Xhaka, what he's done for that team, Palacios, Adli, Boniface before he got injured. The back three too have been absolutely brilliant, you know. Kosunu before the AFCON, Jonathan Tah, Tapsoba, and then also don't forget, the replacements, who the likes of Andrich in that midfield. This has been magnificent, really, and I've literally run out of superlatives to use for this team. But as I say, that's my one regret, basically. My one regret is that we couldn't see them in the Champions League. I see David says quarters, semis. Yeah, possibly because of a lack of experience against the likes of Real Madrid, Man City, but I definitely have them in the top. I don't see them going out before the quarters, and I think they will probably make the semis depending on the draw as well.
Yeah, agreed. Right, so we think roughly got about 20 minutes left of tonight's show. So I want to do one last question on Leverkusen because it's the big question, or one of the big questions. Then we'll move on to the rest of the questions that we have and try and get through as many as we can. That big question for me is one that is doing the rounds about Alonso and if Liverpool come calling for him. I've got my own thoughts on this, obviously being a Man United fan as well. So I definitely know what I want to happen. Mark, obviously as FPL Gunnosaurus J alludes to, will it be too good of an opportunity for Xabi to say no to versus being able to, like he says, create a legacy at Leverkusen?
Yeah, 100%. Leverkusen is not even close to being one of the biggest clubs in Germany, let alone in Europe. You know, Leverkusen is a relatively small club. A lot of people don't realise that, but it's just a small town near Cologne, basically like tucked in between the likes of Dortmund, Schalke, Köln, Gladbach. These are much, much bigger clubs in the Nordrhein-Westfalen region of Germany. And there's no question that Liverpool is a bigger club. It's just, again, it's the same as the other question. You just can't compare that. But at the same time, at the moment, I would say I would prefer, if I was a manager, to work with this Leverkusen squad of players than the Liverpool squad, actually. I think it's a more exciting squad. It's a ridiculously young squad as well, and it's got the perfect balance. So, I mean, if for example, Rolfes and the boys in the board, basically, obviously, Bayer, the company, if they come out and say, we're not going to sell any players, maybe I would be tempted to go and try and do another year with them. But unfortunately, we know how it works. And it is likely that at least three or four of the big names will be sold for very, very big profits this year, summer. And unfortunately, which is a massive loss to the Bundesliga as well, I think Alonso will go to Liverpool. But another interesting twist in that is obviously with the Bayern job very likely coming available, will he end up potentially going to Bayern at the end of the season? Because you've got to remember that Bayern is also a former club of his as well. He knows the Bundesliga now and he knows how to win it, presumably, touch wood, I should say. But basically, yeah, I think everybody's talking about Liverpool, but it's not completely out of the question he could join Bayern for me as well. I wouldn't say that's impossible.
Oh, God, don't start that conversation. we'll get inundated. Right then, yeah, we'll move on and cover some of these other great questions that we've had because I want to try and get through as many as we can before I have to run off to football. Right, next question from Justin. Justin Crosser, thanks very much for this one, Justin. This has been a question on a lot of people's lips and was obviously very in at the moment with obviously the fan process. Do we think that investment into the Bundesliga is unavoidable? This is obviously a hard one because any investment that does go into the league, the Bundesliga, is obviously going to be heavily scrutinized by the fans, by the ultras. Obviously, just using this case in point at the moment, if the deal isn't right for the clubs slash the fans, they're basically not going to have it. They're not going to allow it in a sense. And despite what, you know, the DFL wants and, you know, we're talking from a financial perspective and driving money into the rest of the teams, other than Bayern and a couple of the other big clubs, making sure that there's a fair, you know, a fair pot to go around and making them more sustainable in that sense. So there's certainly things to be considered when it comes to that. But also, Mark, there has to be a real guarding of the club's, you know, the club's culture and what they're all about. There's lots of worry about a big change in kickoff times as well, which a lot of people aren't happy about anyway. So do you, I mean, I think it will happen, but it just depends what kind of format it happens, I guess, for me.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought that it is inevitable, but I think at the end of the day, the fans' protests are working. Like, obviously, Blackstone pulled out of the deal. I mean, nobody thought that was possible, but Blackstone, which was the main American investor, the one that everybody thought would come into the Bundesliga, they wanted to put $1 billion into the project, they basically pulled out last week, and a lot of people think it's on the back of the protests. And basically now, out of those three investment groups, there's only one still involved, which is the CVC from Luxembourg, I think it is. And given the way that the protests went this year, I mean, this weekend, I mean, they were even more crazy, no less than at Nuremberg as well, which is one of the craziest of the lot, when the fans literally broke onto the pitch and put a banner right around the goal. I've never seen that before, basically. Like, the ultras basically piled out of their stand and just unhurled a massive banner saying, like, well, I'm not going to repeat what it said, basically. But, yeah, it was very rude expression towards the DFL and also to any potential investors that wanted to come in. And basically, I think, it looks as though there is a high chance that CVC will pull out as well. And that will mean that this particular brand has been the Ultras Group's one, basically. But is it inevitable that it will come eventually? Possibly. I think they'll keep trying, but, like, German football is an example of, like, I guess in some ways, like a true democracy, you know what I mean? Like, the fans do choose the destiny, basically. And I think, I mean, it's definitely worked. I also have my doubts whether these protests have worked and things, but so far they seem to have worked. The Ultras fan groups have got what they wanted. I mean, the groups are also supporting each other as well over these protests. You know, yesterday the Kaiserslautern fans were clapping the Nuremberg fans, and it's a very much a consensus from the fans that they don't want to see this. Obviously, the clubs, I think only 8 clubs in the top 2 leagues voted against it, and Nuremberg was one of them, actually, and also Kaiserslautern. So that was a real interesting one. It was 2 of the only 8 clubs that officially voted no. They've not been announced officially, but that's what I think it was. The Kicker did basically like a spread saying which clubs they think voted yes and which ones they think voted no. And in the Bundesliga, it was only Union, Freiburg and Köln, they think, that definitely voted against it. And Augsburg abstained, I think it was. So whether it'll happen in the future, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said yes. But after what's happened, I'm not sure, actually. I don't think it will. It's not a guarantee, I don't think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Really good point being put in by VfB Americana, Stuttgart Americana, our great friends. Not to sound like an old man, but since 07, Bundesliga has ranked 2-4 in the UEFA coefficients. Not to say that investment isn't needed, but without investment, the league is doing fine. And we've been living and breathing it, Mark, for the last, 4 seasons. And we've had some great times enjoying great success of, German teams in Europe, no less so than I was watching Frankfurt going all the way in the Europa League and things like that. And, there is a question about the coefficient rankings as well, which we'll try and cover now. And is it me that 2 billion as proposed seem like not a lot? I guess it's not a lot when you compare it maybe with other leagues from that standpoint, from a financial point of view. But yeah, absolutely. Some really good points being raised there. Let me just quickly find the question around the coefficient rankings. So when will they be figured out, i.e. 4 or 5 bully Bundesliga teams to qualify for the Champions League? That's from VfB Cleveland. A really good question for VfB fans to be asking and wondering about, of course. Mark, as I understand the coefficient rankings, in it's all about these 2 extra spots. From the way that it's all figured out, it sounds like England are very likely to get one of those 2 positions. And then it sounds like a fight between Italy and Germany at the moment for that extra spot, based obviously on how the rest of the season goes. I think traditionally the rankings were figured out by you get 2 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and then it's divided by the amount of nations that are competing in the competitions, something like that extent. So obviously the Bundesliga still have a good amount of teams left in it, but I guess that everyone will be slightly more reliant on how far Leverkusen can go. I mean, I was about to say how far Bayern can go, but if Bayern are knocked out, that won't help, you know, Leipzig, Dortmund and Stuttgart, who are wanting maybe there to be five spots, so there's not this big fight between those three teams as well. So do we think it's going to... It looks 50-50, basically, I think, at the moment for whether we get top five in the Champions League or not. I think it'll have to go quite well for the Bundesliga teams for the rest of this season.
Yeah, we probably need one Bundesliga team to make it to like this minimum semis, but probably final of the Champions League, I think, unless it's an all-English final. Because as you say, I think England is pretty much certain to get one. So it's probably going to be between, at the moment, it looks like Germany and Italy. But I guess if Real Madrid or if it's a Real Barca final in the Champions League, they could still nick it, yeah, the Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I think it's most likely. But the Bayern lack of form is a worry for the Bundesliga because, like it or not, Bayern are the leaders of German football in the Champions League, and we need them to recover to get to at least the semis, really. Obviously, Dortmund, you know, have had a good record in the Champions League in recent years, and I feel as though they actually look the best place potentially to have a run this year because, you know, they play PSV Eindhoven. That looks winnable, and then all of a sudden you're in the last eight, and we've seen that Dortmund can play well against the bigger English teams too. Like last year against Man City, they were brilliant, especially in the away game when they were very unlucky to lose 2-1. And I thought they were superb. So you wouldn't rule them out potentially taking City or even Real. I think it is within the realms of possibility that could happen. But then obviously looking at the Europa League, that's where Leverkusen have got to come in and do us a favour, because I think most of the points are won by Champions League, but also Europa League is pretty important too. I think Conference League carries very, very little from what I can gather. I think the points are worth a little bit less to the coefficient in that one. But still, you know, Frankfurt going pretty strong in that as well. So I think a lot of it will depend on the Champions League. We really need Bayern to overturn this against Lazio. And then we probably need the BVB to make probably the semis as well, or quarters would be useful as well. But I think the semis has got to be the goal for Dortmund as well, for me.
Absolutely. Right. Let's try and hammer through a last couple questions for everyone, because I know everyone's asked some really good questions. And apologies, we might not get to everything as time is looking. A good one from Jay. Surprise players this season, Mark. Ones that you never expected to see the form that they are in. I mean, a few just quickly for me, I'll shout out a few and then you can shout a few. Nijmar for Werder, he's come out and done fantastically well out of nowhere. Marmoush, under the radar for Frankfurt, I think he's done really well. Obviously, the likes of Undav and Furyk for VfB. I could go on, but I'll let you do a few as well, Mark.
Yeah, I think probably Bayer from Hoffenheim. He's had a really good breakout season as well, especially in the Hinrunde. I think another one that like literally no one has been mentioning is Osterhage as well from Bochum. Like he's been really, really good in that midfield, and probably from Bochum as well. I would say Bernardo too, who's actually top of the duels won in the Bundesliga. Like he's been great at times. And then I think obviously my boy Demirovic too. I know he had a good breakout last year with them, but nobody thought this was coming. I mean, 12 goals and like 5 assists. Like the guy's just been a machine, basically.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah, I think he deserves a lot of respect for what he's done as well. And I think obviously from the bigger clubs, I'd probably say, a lot of Stuttgart players, basically. Yeah, like Furyk has just been abnormal. Mio has built on a good end to last season. And I would say, obviously, I mean, Gourassi, I think I wouldn't say he's been a complete shock because he did look good last year as well, but definitely Furyk, I think, because nobody thought this was going to come from him.
Yeah.
Mittelstädt, too. Let's give some respect to Mittelstädt because he's been good, too.
One player I'll shout out because I was horrible to him earlier on the season is Radetzky in net for Leverkusen. I didn't think he'd be that good, and he's been really important for them. Right then, let's have one other from our good friend VfB Americana. So on the topic of Europe, after Köln got relegated, having been in Europe in 1718, FC Union Berlin as well having trouble this season, but clubs like Freiburg and Frankfurt have done fine. What are the themes that spell disaster or success for such clubs? A bit of a worry for VfB, depending on what happens next season, with it potentially being in Europe in whatever guise it might be. I guess the key themes, Mark, kind of squad harmony, the way the money is spent transfer-wise, so not completely reshaping a team. Having a good squad depth to be able to cope with the midweek fixtures. It's a fine balance to strike. What have you just seen very quickly for those sort of clubs who have done better than those who have maybe mismanaged?
Another very big one for FCU in particular was signing players that are like kind of above your league a little bit too. Like signing, going for the kind of Hollywood names and then they just don't work out. You know, obviously they went for the likes of Bonucci, who, I mean, for them, he's probably the most famous player ever to play for Union Berlin, but it just didn't work out. Like he didn't buy into the whole Union ethic and it just didn't work out for him at all. So I would say first of all, you don't want to lose too many players. That's important. You know, you can afford to lose one or two, to get the bank rolling again. But basically, don't lose too many key players. And also, don't sign kind of Hollywood signings, basically. Because in more cases than not, it doesn't work. I think the only time I can remember a club that signed Hollywood signings working was Bolton Wanderers back in the 2000s. I don't know if you remember. They had the likes of JJ Okocha, Yuri Djorkaeff, Fernando Hierro, and they all did well too. I know that because my dad's a Bolton fan as well. So basically they were all about 35, but they all did brilliantly well. So I don't know how that worked, but in most cases it doesn't work out well when teams go for those kind of Hollywood signings with players that are either above the league or just past it, basically.
We very much from a VfB point of view, whatever happens at the end of the season, just keep on making those really smart decisions in the transfer window, getting your likes of your Angelo Stillers under the radar and your Mittelstädts and keep on improving them. I thought, for example, bringing in Dahoud might upset a few people and things like that, be seamlessly fit in, obviously scored effectively the winner at the weekend. Another really good decision by the looks of it. So keep on adding that depth and to the squad. And hopefully things will go really, really well for VfB next season. I'm just about running out of time. I just wanted to come to this last question quickly, and I really do apologise if we've missed any questions in the live chat or ones that were asked prior to the show. We're just a little bit time constraint today with the show. And it's one from Wasif Anam, and he's asked, Mark, how does the Bundesliga compare to the leagues like the Prem, La Liga and Serie A? What are the unique aspects of the Bundesliga? I think we can quite safely say a unique aspect is the fan culture. We talk about it a lot on the show, don't we, and how amazing it is. The ultras, the tifos, how much they care and what a huge impact they have. The 50+1 rule and everything else like that. Exactly what David said, the fan culture. In terms of the style of play, I guess, in the Bundesliga, it's very attacking, it's very open-ended. There aren't a huge amount of teams that are massively defensive. It's fast, it's furious. It's one of the reasons why we absolutely love it. Anything else that you can just very quickly pick out from Bundesliga in terms of it being unique?
Yeah, I think teams are very kind of like, as you say, they have a very, in Germany, it's all about like kind of a quite attacking philosophy, a counter-attack as well. Yeah, but it's about like, basically the clubs feel a duty to like entertain the fans, basically. Like you wouldn't have like a Tony Pulis in Germany. It's very rare that happens because it will be seen as like a kind of too dull. And the other thing, the absolute main one, as you say, though, is the fan culture and just the way that it's almost like a throwback. German football is like a throwback to like 1960s, 1970s England, when before all the billionaires came, before, you know, that you had to pay 80 quid for a ticket to go and watch Arsenal or whatever. I mean, it's cheap, like extremely affordable to go to any German game, basically. Mm-hmm. Like even Bayern Munich, you can pick up a ticket for less than €20. And often, like for you know, the likes of Augsburg, you can easily get a good seat for 22, 23 euros, which is less than 20 quid. So it's very well priced. And you can also drink in the stands as well. Don't forget that, guys. Yeah, for you drinkers out there, you can drink in the stands. You don't get told to sit down every 5 minutes by stewards. For those smokers out there, I mean, I'm not a smoker, but you can smoke in the stands too. So it's like a throwback. I mean, it's fan-centric. It's all about the fans. And that's what makes it the best league at the end of the day. I mean, the stadiums are full up and down the country. It doesn't matter what league you go in. And the atmosphere is just electric from start to finish. So if you've not never been to Germany or seen a game, then get yourself over and watch a game, because there's nothing better, really. There really isn't.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. You know, very well summed up there, Mark. very nice way to finish up as well. It's time to grab a drink. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all for, yeah, what has been a really good show. Really glad that we did this. We enjoy doing these Q&A shows. You know, the questions asked during the show, before the show, all awesome. Thank you, everyone, for your comments as we've gone along. So, yeah, I'm going to have to hand it over to you, Mark, to finish up quickly, and I'll have to be darting off down the road.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed what you saw today, then check out our Twitter, at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Also, don't forget, we're not only a YouTube channel, we're also a podcast, so remember to leave a rating and help us on there as well. And yeah, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe. We're slowly building towards our goals. So yeah, keep us going. Obviously, we've got more and more content coming out for you. We've had a really good start to the Ruck Runder as well in terms of content. We've got, you know, vlogs, I think 3 vlogs from the Bundesliga. Also, don't forget Ian's vlogs from the Football League as well. And we will have the Nuremberg Kaiserslautern one out probably later this week. So thanks very much, guys. It's been a brilliant show. So much good interaction to the likes of David. Obviously, Stuttgart Americana. It's always a pleasure to see you guys. And by the way, I was right about Undav as well, Americana. Thanks to Justin Ballum, as always. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys. And we'll see you again later in the week on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Cheers, all.